And there, ahead of them, went the star that the kings had seen at its rising, and it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they had seen that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. Here, today, we're under the stars again. From the beginning of Advent, through our glorious Christmas, and through this very day, Epiphany, it is as if we've been walking together under a clear-ish night sky. We've been walking side by side, one foot in front of the other, being careful of a stray branch on the ground here, a rustle back in the bushes there. Mostly, in my perspective, just glad to not have to walk through the dark alone. As we've been walking, our gaze has been up toward heaven as much as it can be. As we've been looking for God, waiting for God more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning, as the stars have been shifting over our heads. Today, of course, we remember through story and through song and through flowers and branches that one time, three wise guys, or kings, or whoever they were exactly, noticed a new star being born. Amazing, they cried. And they knew what they had to do. They followed it, step after step after step after step, until it stopped. Given other historical clues in the gospel, namely about King Herod and his reign and his governance, it would appear that this journey of theirs took about 2 years. That's how far they traveled. So no wonder that when the star finally stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. I don't know about you, but I don't usually get my bearings by the night sky. I proudly can spot the Big Dipper and Orion's Belt and a few other clusters and shapes whose names I never remember. But other than that, I don't really know what I'm looking at, much less how to follow a star night after night, day after day. Yet, just like I do often get my bearings by looking at the buildings downtown, oh, there's the Guardian, there's the Fisher, there's the Penobscot, there's the Rensen, to know where I am around town and where I'm headed, the stars were their map of the holy. Their map by night. We must unlearn the constellations to see the stars, writes Jack Gilbert in one of his poems. We must unlearn the constellations to see the stars. And I see his point, I get it. We must unprogram ourselves of our expectations and of our routines to see and absorb and be enchanted by the raw beauty emerging where we least expect it. I also believe that sometimes we need to learn the constellations. That is, we need to pause long enough to consider the shapes and patterns and stories among us, and take comfort in them, even. Constellations. For our brothers and sisters, they have been patterns in the sky, Not only patterns, but roads, well-worn paths that our brothers and sisters and ancestors all over the world, no matter where they've lived, have taken. Constellations as creative and humble grooves in our being, in how together we live and move and have our being. So this week I've been thinking a lot about how we do get our bearings. If not always, by the night sky. How do we understand where we are and where we are compelled to be? How are we going on adventures? Adventures for the long haul. How are we crossing boundaries to meet Christ in one another, in the unfamiliar? How did it feel to pray, visit our rest with disturbing dreams and our journeys with strange companions? What came to mind? What were we thinking when we prayed together, grace us with the hospitality to open our hearts and homes to visitors filled with unfamiliar wisdom and bearing profound and unusual gifts? I wonder if the Magi themselves had some of the same thoughts. Here they were, having followed a star diligently, relentlessly, some may have said foolishly, for years, to find a child in a far-off land who and whose family were speaking a foreign language and were of humble and modest means. They must have been thinking, where are we? And what does this mean? Yet, they crossed through the door of the house. They opened themselves and their chests of treasures to honor this unfamiliar one before them. The theologian Christina Cleveland says that, yes, sure, people can meet God within our own cultural context. But she distinguishes meeting God from following God. And following God, step by step, day after day, night after night, means crossing into other cultures. Because that's what Jesus did in the incarnation, and that is what the Magi are up to as well. Christina talks of a friend she made one summer as they were interning together at an organization in Boston. They became friends, were eating lunch together, enjoyed their conversations, became quite fond of each other. And Christina writes that even though she'd mentioned on most days in these conversations her walk with Jesus, by the end of the summer, one day the friend cried out, I guess he had an epiphany, you could call it, wait, you're Christian? No, that can't be. She's like, haven't we talked about this? He said, no, that can't be, because you're smart and kind and open-minded. Everyone knows, Christina, that Christians are judgmental and ignorant and dogmatic and anti-intellectual, and you are none of those things, therefore you cannot be Christian. Christians, he continued, exclude others. They don't spend time with people who are not like them. You can't possibly be Christian, Christina. I don't believe it. Take it back. This conversation drove Christina, who is also a social psychologist, to examine how we Christians are with each other. How we act, yes, but moreover, what's going on in our internal worlds. such that we naturally, humanly gravitate toward what is familiar. We take comfort in worlds and in creating worlds wherein people act like we do. Maybe people look like we do, dress like we do, read the same newspapers or online sources as we do, shop at the same stores as we do. How all of this feels so comfortable to us. Yet, in this comfort, we are not where we are called to be. Christina confesses right at the beginning of her book that though I am from a multiracial and multi-ethnic family, and indeed church, I still am guided internally by the sense of like right Christian and wrong Christian. And that she, of course, is a right Christian, and that others, simply because they're from different worldviews and contexts and are unfamiliar, are wrong Christians. And yet, a new star is before us all. A new star beckons us to be guided by a different truth. A new star compels us forward into the unknown and the unfamiliar. Indeed, Christina continues, when we meet Jesus around people who are just like us, and then continue to follow Jesus with people who are just like us, we stifle our growth in Christ and open ourselves up to worlds of division. Under the night sky, yet again, under these stars, where we can't help but welcome with relief our smallness in the universe and take heart in God's vastness. I wonder how small or how big are our worlds. Might we dare to follow day by day, step by step, night after night, a new star to meet and honor Christ. Amen.